there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. This may be the most serious and important True News broadcast in 15 years. Please listen carefully to what I say today. For over 6 years, I have warned that Barack Obama is a communist revolutionary who will drive the United States of America into civil war. Life in the USA changed drastically for the worse yesterday with a stunning revelation that the Obamanistas have taken their communist revolution to a new level. Mr. Obama's political appointees in the Pentagon have implemented a new policy that bans Christians in the armed forces from sharing their faith in Jesus Christ with other soldiers. Christians who violate the ban could face court-martial, imprisonment, and or a dishonorable discharge from the U.S. military. The bottom line, the Obamanistas have criminalized Christianity in the U.S. military. The old America, the land of the free, home of the brave, is dead. We now live in communist America. And I have to ask the question again, why are the American people sleeping through this revolution? The new anti-Christian policy is the evil fruit of Mr. Mikey Weinstein, an atheist Jew who founded the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. He was cited by Forward magazine as one of the most influential Jews in America. Barack Obama appointed Mr. Weinstein as his new religious tolerance consultant to the Pentagon. Mr. Weinstein cannot open his mouth without spewing forth venomous denunciations of conservative evangelical Christians. He has labeled conservative Christian organizations such as Focus on the Family, the American Family Association, and the Family Research Council as fundamentalist Christian monsters. In a column published by the liberal HuffingtonPost.com, Mr. Weinstein warned, quote, "Today, we face incredibly well-funded gangs of fundamentalist Christian monsters who terrorize their fellow Americans by forcing their weaponized and twisted version of Christianity upon their helpless subordinates in our nation's armed forces," end of quote. Mr. Weinstein cited Dr. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family, as, quote, "illustrating the extremist, militant nature of these homophobic organizations' rhetorically charged propaganda," end of quote. Now, we are not living in Alice in Wonderland. This nightmare is Obamaland. In his perverted version of reality, religious tolerance means shutting the mouths of Christians talking about Jesus Christ. This insane policy comes from the same Muslim Marxist in the White House who has yet been able to force himself to declare that Nidal Hassan's bloody rampage at Fort Hood was an act of Islamic terrorism. 13 American soldiers were brutally murdered on a U.S. Army base on American soil, yet Mr. Obama's administration labeled the shooting spree as workplace violence, despite overwhelming evidence linking Nadal Hassan to Anwar al-Awlaki, the Yemeni Aman, who was a recruiter for al-Qaeda and a planner of terrorist attacks. So I must ask, who are the real terrorists in America? Red-blooded Americans from the heartland who believe in Jesus Christ, or a Muslim Marxist from Kenya posing as the American president? Mr. Weinstein claims that Christians in the military, including ordained chaplains, are guilty of treason for sharing their Christian faith among fellow soldiers. He has described Christians in the armed forces as enemies of the Constitution. This Jewish atheist has also described Christian witnessing as an act of spiritual rape, on par with sexual assaults. Under the new policy that is now in effect, American soldiers who dare to tell other soldiers about their faith in Jesus Christ risk being convicted in a court-martial, as would a soldier convicted of treason, sedition, murder, rape, or other serious crimes. Court-martial punishment may include imprisonment in a military correctional institution or a dishonorable discharge from the military and loss of pension and benefits. When Mr. Weinstein demands that Christians in the military be branded as traitors, he knows that treason in the military is a crime punishable by death. Mr. Weinstein told the Washington Post, quote, "This is a national security threat. What is happening, aside from sexual assault, is spiritual rape. And what the Pentagon needs to understand is that it is sedition and treason. It should be punished." End of quote. Do you comprehend the seriousness of the policy that is now in effect under Mr. Obama? Christians in the military who defy the order may be put to death by military executioners. So who is next? Mr. Weinstein cites Dr. James Dobson, the founder of Focus on the Family, as one of these terrorists that must be controlled and stifled. Now, he says, regardless of who is teaching Orthodox Christian beliefs from the Bible, quote, "Let's call these ignoble actions what they are, the senseless and cowardly squallings of human monsters." Mikey Weinstein and members of his Jesus-hating Military Religious Freedom Foundation met privately on April 23rd with Pentagon officials. He said that U.S. troops who proselytize their religious views on military bases are guilty of sedition and treason. He said they should be punished by the hundreds, if necessary, to stave off a tidal wave of fundamentalists. Mr. Weinstein reportedly demanded that soldiers who talk about Jesus Christ to other soldiers should be booted out of the military. Furthermore, Mr. Weinstein told Air Force commanders that any officer who attempts to convert others to Christianity should face a court-martial. So this is what religious tolerance looks like under the Obama communist regime. Christians will be persecuted, ostracized, imprisoned, and eventually put to death. I will repeat my earlier statement. Barack Obama has now criminalized Christianity in the U.S. military. Life in America changed on May 1st, May Day, the universal celebration of the communist movement. Keep in mind that this new anti-Christian communist policy of Barack Obama would apply to chaplains too. Therefore, ordained ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ serving in the armed forces as chaplains to soldiers could possibly face a court-martial conviction for openly sharing their faith in God with other soldiers. Former U.S. Ambassador Joe Wilson, husband of CIA agent Valerie Plame, is a member of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation's board of directors. He said that military chaplains are on military bases to minister to spiritual needs. Quote, "You don't proselytize. It's a workplace violation," end of quote, said the ambassador. So under the Obamanista regime, ordained ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ will be punished if they share their Christian faith with another soldier when discussing religious matters. The new Obamanista policy was implemented weeks after U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Jack Rich sent an email to over three dozen of his subordinates at Fort Campbell in Kentucky, advising them to scour the military base for the presence of domestic hate groups. Who are these domestic hate groups infiltrating American military bases? Is it Islamic cells with members such as Nadal Hassan, who murdered 13 soldiers at Fort Hood? No. Lieutenant Colonel Rich identified these domestic hate groups as the American Family Association and the Family Research Council. What is their threat to national security? Lieutenant Colonel Rich warned in his email that, quote, "The religious right in America has employed a variety of strategies in its efforts to beat back the increasingly confident gay rights movement," end of quote. His 14-page email to military officers documented groups that the U.S. military considers to be anti-gay, anti-immigrant, and anti-Muslim. Lieutenant Colonel Rich, who is the 2nd Battalion 506 Infantry Regiment commander at Fort Hood, told his fellow officers at Fort Campbell that he, quote, "just wanted to ensure everyone is somewhat educated on some of the groups out there that do not share our Army values," end of quote. Now, the Jesus-hating Mikey Weinstein feverishly worked to intimidate commanders at Fort Leonard Wood to withdraw its invitation to Christian historian David Barton to speak to 400 military members and their families. Mr. Barton was scheduled to speak this morning on the topic, Our American Heritage, Why History Matters. The event was part of the National Day of Prayer activities around the nation. By the way, the National Day of Prayer was established by an act of Congress in 1952. In a letter to Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel, Mr. Weinstein justified his demands to disinvite David Barton on the patriotic historian's, quote, "contemptuous words against the president," end of quote. Mr. Barton has called Barack Obama, quote, "the most biblically hostile U.S. president," end of quote. Mr. Weinstein, the Pentagon's new religious tolerance advisor, told Secretary Hagel that allowing Mr. Barton to speak at Fort Leonard Wood, quote, "can be considered nothing less than the condoning and endorsement of statements that, if made by officers who invited him to speak, would be punishable by their court-martial," end of quote. So, in this new world, if you criticize Barack Obama, you are guilty of treason. Again, perhaps you didn't see the notice, but yesterday, May Day, May 1st, Barack Obama signed a declaration, a presidential proclamation declaring May 1st, May Day, as Loyalty Day. May 1st, May Day, the universal celebration of communism. Now, Forward magazine named Mr. Weinstein as one of the most influential Jewish people in America. Evangelical Christians are the most loyal and vocal supporters of Israel. Is this the gratitude given from Jews to evangelical Christians for their unflinching support of Israel? Perhaps it's time for Jewish leaders to speak up in defense of American Christians. Jewish leaders need to tell Mr. Weinstein to shut up. If not, American evangelical Christians need to reevaluate their support of Israel. It's time to play hardball. They are talking about imprisoning us, even executing us for sharing our Christian faith. This isn't a joke. It's not a bad dream. It's reality. Today, May 2nd, 2013. For the first time in history, U.S. federal government officials are seriously considering imprisoning or executing Christians who refuse to be quiet about their faith. Evangelical Christians have stood with Jewish Israel when the whole world opposed the nation. Isn't it time for the Jews who appreciate Christian support of Israel to get their rabid, mad dogs like Mikey Weinstein under control? Somebody in the Jewish community, please tell Mr. Weinstein to shut his pie hole. When Mr. Obama was running for president in 2007 and 2008, I was one of the few voices in America who warned that he is a Marxist revolutionary. I warned that he will divide America to the point that this country erupts into another civil war. The 2012 election of this Marxist Muslim revolutionary astounded me. How could the American people not see what and who he is and what he is doing to our beloved constitutional republic? The only explanation for the stupidity of the American people at this time is that God has sent a delusion over the nation to deliberately blind them. Why? Because Mr. Obama may be God's judgment on a nation that no longer fears or desires God. So the question is, how will American Christians respond to this threat of criminal prosecution for sharing their faith in the armed forces? Plain and simple, this threat cannot be ignored. This is life and death. They are now coming after us. Deal with it. I've warned and warned for years on this radio program that we would reach this point. It's here. Now we have to deal with it. Here are my suggestions about how Christians must respond immediately. Number one, the first action is the most useless action. Nothing will happen, but we still must do it. We must go through the motion. Every Christian must contact his or her two U.S. senators and House representative. Go to House.gov and Senate.gov to find their online contact information. Send them an email. Do not make any threats, but don't be wishy-washy in what you say. Let them know this is where we draw the line. Number two, every pastor must address the threat at his next worship service. No more business as usual in churches. The wolf is at the door. If your pastor wimps out this weekend, stand up in the church service and demand that he address the issue. It's time for a spiritual tea party movement in the churches. If the shepherds won't lead, tell them to get out of the way. Number three, every Christian TV and radio host must address the issue on the air. Sound the alarm. Persecution is here. Number four, Christians must stop donating money to TV and radio ministers who are cowards. If they refuse to publicly confront the threat, cut them off. Give your money to the men and ministries with the backbone and courage to take a stand for Jesus Christ. No more money for pulpit sissies. Number five, pastors should organize and lead peaceful, nonviolent prayer vigils at the gates of U.S. military bases until the policy is fully repealed. Number six, The purpose of this ban is intimidation. The Jesus haters are willing to make an example of several hundred Christians in the military in order to scare the you-know-what out of the civilians. After all, if they can lock up or even execute Christians in the military, what will they do with the rest of us? The appropriate response to intimidation is to speak up. Praise and worship the name of Jesus openly, as often as possible. Do not be intimidated to be quiet. Speak his wondrous name everywhere. Praise the Lord with your lips and your whole heart. Nobody can force you to stop praising the name of Jesus Christ. Number 7, all devout Christian men and women in the armed forces must openly defy the ban. Every Christian presently in uniform must make a decision to stand for Jesus Christ or deny his name. Large numbers of Christians in uniform should hold spontaneous prayer and worship services on U.S. military bases. Second, soldiers must not cower in the face of court-martial. They must be willing to go to prison if necessary for their faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, they will risk being booted out of the military or going to prison. But so what? This is where we separate the men from the boys. If Jesus Christ died for you, can you not at least live for him? Persecution has arrived in America. As I said earlier, deal with it. There can be no compromise on the matter of our Christian faith. Your military medals hanging on your chest will mean nothing on Judgment Day when you face the living God. Only your faith and devotion and obedience to Jesus Christ will matter. Number 8, all devout Christians presently on active or reserve duty in the U.S. Armed Forces should refuse to re-enlist. End of discussion. Get out of Babylon's military war machine. God will not protect or bless this anti-Christian regime. Walk out of the military at the soonest possible moment and let them know why you are walking out. Number 9, Christian men and women must cease enlisting in the U.S. Armed Forces until this idiotic policy is completely repealed. Number 10, every God-fearing pastor must openly declare from his pulpit that the young men and women in the churches are forbidden to enlist in the U.S. Armed Forces as long as the military remains hostile to Christianity. If Mr. Obama wants a gay, lesbian, pagan, atheist armed forces, let him have it. The God-fearing young men and women from America's heartland must resist the patriotic urge to join the military. It isn't our nation anymore. America is morphing into Babylon. And when you couple this new policy of muzzling Christians with the introduction of openly gay and lesbian men and women into the armed forces, the new American military is blatantly anti-Christian. In fact, it is anti-American. It is not worthy of the blood and sacrifice of the young men and women from the American heartland. Under Barack Obama, the U.S. federal government, including the Pentagon, is now officially hostile to American citizens who strongly hold Christian beliefs. This is not our government. It is a foreign government that is waging war against the people of the United States of America. Therefore, do not fight her wars. Let the regime collapse. Number 11. Get ready for ugly persecution in America. Seek God about his will for your life. Do you stay and risk imprisonment or death? Or do you leave America to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in foreign lands? It is decision time. The communists have taken over America. You can no longer ignore this fact. And each person will have to make a deeply personal decision between you and God. about what you are supposed to do, and we must respect each other for that decision. I'm Rick Wiles. You're listening to True News. I'm going to take a break. I'll be back for the second half of the program in 1 minute.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast.
This is Max McLean. Do you excel in the grace of giving? Listen to the Bible from 2 Corinthians 8. Just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. From 2 Corinthians 8, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
To hear more, go to radiobible.org.
Well, welcome back to segment two of True News. I'm Rick Wiles. Life has changed in America. The things that we warned for many years would happen, we took a drastic turn for the worse yesterday with this revelation that the military has now implemented a policy that criminalizes Christianity in the U.S. Armed Forces. And folks, I've been warning for a long, long time that, you know, we were coming to this day. And I've done everything that I can to get the warning out, to wake up the American people. And, this is the situation we're facing today. The American people are allowing this country to slide into tyranny. And worse, the church is absolutely apathetic and just sitting there doing nothing. And listen, I'm willing to stay on the air and continue warning, even at the peril of my own safety and well-being and my life. I will never compromise. I will never back down in confessing my devotion to Jesus Christ. Now, what about you? Will you support this radio program? There are tens of thousands of people that listen to this program every day for years, and you've never done anything. What are you waiting on? I mean, just what are you waiting on? How bad do things have to get until you do something? This would be a great opportunity this month to get behind True News and empower us to have a larger voice in this country. It's up to you. But there are a lot of you who are just sitting on the sidelines as spectators. You're watching this stuff happen, and you never do anything. Why don't you change it? Why don't you get involved with us today? This situation is not going to get better until a lot of Christians get some backbone and lock arms and take a stand. I've invited longtime radio broadcaster and Christian commentator Steve Quayle from Montana to join me for the second half of the program. He doesn't need an introduction. Steve, it's a new day in America. What do we say in light of this new military policy?
Well, first of all, we were warned, Rick. I think that everyone has taken the grace of God for granted. They've taken the salvation of God to be something so less than the mighty provision that God Almighty made for us. And I'm on record, as you know, for 20 years saying before God would allow America to be destroyed, he's going to reveal the sins of the leaders to the people and the people's sins before their God, before all to see. And I want to make clear that war has been declared against the military, especially the Christians. War has been declared, and I'm talking literal war where the ramification is physical death. And today I'm going to share, with your permission, of course, a word that the Lord gave me 2 years ago prior to the Pentagon criminalizing and ultimately court-martialing Christians. It's no secret that the military, especially the Air Force and even the Navy, have been openly embracing witchcraft, Wiccan, New Age policy. Everything and anything is okay, including radical Islam, with the exception of Jesus Christ. You know, Rick, the gentleman that did the shooting at Fort Hood in Texas lives almost the life of leisure and has never been brought to trial. The man that went crazy shouting Allah Akbar and killed all of U.S. servicemen. So now I want you to know, we're at the time where, and I'm glad you made the introduction you made, and we're pleading for the people. If the people will not stand up for Jesus now, they will absolutely not be able to stand in the end time, because God is going to judge between the, I'm telling you, he's going to judge between the sheep and the goats, even as the time is fast approaching, with the vilification of Christians, with the vilification of patriots, with the vilification of, everybody from homeschoolers, constitutionalists, Tea Party members, veterans. We're talking, Rick, about 850,000 veterans with their medical benefits being intentionally withheld. Men and women dying in veterans' hospitals. And so this is no longer for me a time to call people to basically, you know, get involved. They had better stand up for Jesus. And, you know, I've told this story, and it's a really critical point. I said, Lord, why are there so few people in standing up for me and the others, and obviously guys like you and those of us who have really stood our ground for Jesus? And I got really bummed out, Rick. I even got bitter at one point, but thanks to the Holy Spirit and conviction and repentance, I'm better. But the Lord spoke something that set me free. He said, Steve, if my people won't stand up for me, what makes you think they'll stand up for you? And Brother Rick, that just basically sent shockwaves through my understanding.
Hey, that's something that has troubled me for a long time, being on the radio, because you think, well, if I ever got in trouble, if they came after me, if they locked me up, if they dragged me away in the middle of the night, how many people would stand up for me and fight for me and try to help me? And Steve, that question bothers me, because I'm looking at the lack of courage among the American evangelical Christian community to stand for Jesus, let alone stand for Steve Quayle or Rick Wiles. They won't even stand for him.
Yeah, they won't stand for him. And, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, Rick? They won't stand for righteousness, the Lord Jesus. They won't stand for the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace, the manifold, if you will, multidimensional intervention of the living God in his people's lives. But, you know, the bottom line is that's why the Word of God gives us the word that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they reject it. And the answer to your question is very few, okay? And I'll tell you, this is the Lord asked me this, I think, 4 or 5 months ago, and I want to share it with people.
Yeah, go ahead.
And this is critical. I mean, there are times when I hear so clearly, and it's because of so many people praying and interceding for me and for you and for the voices, the few voices that are out there. And the Lord said to me, he asked me a question. He said, Steve, if I tell people that they won't, if they don't confess me before men, I won't confess them before my Father. He asked me a question. How many people do you think confess me before men? And my answer was, I think, too fast and too, like, quick draw. But I said, Lord, if you're asking me that question, it automatically assumes not many. And, Rick, I'm telling you this. People can talk about Christ until they're blue in the face. Christ is not Jesus' name. Jesus is his name, Yeshua in Hebrew. But the bottom line is, it's Jesus the Messiah. So the point is that if God's asking me, and I don't know if he's asked you that, how many people, Steve, are confessing me before men? And if that is a criteria for getting saved, you know, we've only heard by grace you're saved. I agree with that. But out of grace, there should be works of faith, or James basically shouldn't have written the epistle he did in the New Testament. So what I want people to understand now, it's a time to stand up with your brother Rick. It's a time to support. And when I say support, look, people go to church and they throw money into plates. Actually, they go to church and get, you know, hosed. They get vacuumed pockets. And David Langford just sent me an email before we went on the radio tonight, or this afternoon, excuse me, Rick. And he said, you know, Steve, he said, wow. He said, I am hearing in my spirit the Lord, and I'm going to tell you something. And he's cautious to say this, but the Lord is finished with the churches that have acquiesced, surrendered, given into sin, and will not speak out against sin, will not speak up for him. And I got a news for you. There's a word in the New Testament, and basically a word in the Old Testament. It's Ichabod. Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. So the thing that people have got to understand is the military, Christians in the military, need our prayers. Now, Rick, may I go to the prophecy I gave? I think I
said. Yes, sir. I'd like to hear it. Go ahead.
Yeah, because this was 2 years ago. 2 years ago. And it's the second part of a three-part prophecy. I have yet to be given the go-ahead to release the first part. So I'm only releasing the second and third part. I've held on to the first part for 2 years. That's not what I'm going to share. To the Pentagon, I am against your plans to make war against my people and my land. Is it a small thing in your eyes for you to make war against me, saith the Lord? You trust in the technology of the fallen ones and the hidden and secret weapons that you believe will keep you safe. Has it not dawned on you that as you study in your war colleges, that betrayal and destruction have come from traitors within and armies without? The son of perdition has been a liar since the beginning of time, and as all empires before you have fallen, littering the pages of history, so is yours. Your lives in an instant will flash before you. Repent and turn away from your evil schemes. Just as Judas sold my son Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, so have you sold me out. For it is I, the living God, who gave you the victories over your foreign enemies when you sought to preserve that which was just. Are you so seduced and deceived that you cannot see the illuminated ones will utterly consume you, and their promises will fail to give you your expected outcome? And then he goes on to say this. To the gate openers, I ask you a simple question. We're talking about the gates that Jesus said would, the gates of hell would not prevail. Who do you think bound the demons and the fallen angels that you seek so feverishly to loose in the first place? For it was I, the living God, out of the love for my creation, mankind, that bound them at the first time and will seal them in chains in the final time. The promise of eternal life apart from me will not deliver you from my wrath and my judgments. And now I say to my generals, my colonels, my captains, and all those who still call themselves by my name, to the fighting men and women, let not your hearts be troubled. For I will strip the veneer off those who feign to serve me, so you can see the evil one's plan behind those who send you to your death. The time is at hand that you will have to do what I have put in your hearts to do. You will have to resist the orders that you've been given to destroy your brethren with all that is within your reach. I will lay out my plans clearly before you in dreams and visions and holy angelic encounters. For I, the Lord, will protect and provide your families as you seek me in prayer and fasting and seek me with all your hearts. Now, when I gave that, probably nobody in the country even understood the purpose of that. So 2 years ago, Rick, this isn't an after-the-fact thing. It's not a reaction to the Pentagon declaring basically war on Christians, but ultimately it's a second psalm. The kings of the earth have set themselves against the Lord God of heaven and against his anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, as I've said for 20 years on talk radio, take it to the Lord in prayer, because it's very serious in God's time. Rick, if they will make war in their minds against God himself, thinking that somehow through Satan's wisdom they're going to prevail, then what will they do to God's kids?
And I was, as you were reading that prophecy, I was thinking of words that I spoke on this radio program 13, 14 years ago, and I said, there will be a day when there will be so many pagans and witches and warlocks and homosexuals and lesbians in high military offices, that suddenly we will come to a place in this country where the enemies of the cross will be armed, and they will have the authority of the military, and it would be a pleasure for them to carry out the orders of an ungodly commander-in-chief to round up the enemies of the nation. As you were reading that prophecy, that was coming back to me, that I said this 13, 14 years ago on the program. And it's really mind-boggling, Steve, that today we really are dealing with a changed country in the last 24 hours. The United States military has declared war against Christianity. That's where we're at today. Now the military is officially an enemy of the Christian people of this nation.
There is absolutely so much truth to that. Rick, one of the things, there are times I break down on the air and I can't help it, and I'll try and keep it together, but when I saw Jesus face to face in the flesh, he looked as he does in the book of Revelation, and I fell as one dead at his feet, and he gave me a panorama for history and called me to have a Joseph's ministry, which I've been doing now for 42 years. The thing that is so striking to me is the Lord said, I will only reveal. He gave me a panorama of history, okay? I saw it in real time, in real color. The smells were real. Everything was real. But he said, I will only let you recall it, Steve, as it's getting ready to happen. And I think that's because of his mercy and love for me, because, brother, I get overwhelmed when I read this stuff. And when God gives it to me, I say, Lord, your people won't receive it. And that's when he gave me a statement. I think you've heard me say this, but I'll say it one more time. No word of God spoken by a man of God is ever received by the people of God at the time the word of God is spoken by the man of God to the people of God. And I said, Lord, give me scripture for that. And he said, easy, Steve. Look at what they did to my prophets. Now, the testimony of Jesus, Rick, is the spirit of prophecy. And that's why the quote, nominal churches have ceased being phenomenal, supernatural, because when they denigrated Jesus just to being a teacher and all the other things they try and put Jesus down for, you and I are told if we lift Jesus up, then the Holy Spirit will draw all men unto him. So I'm here to tell you that I have seen it, and it breaks my heart, the torture, the gore, the grisly stuff. And I've asked the Lord for freedom. I said, Lord, I just can't go there on the radio. Let me put it up in writing, and you can go on my website and Google Brother Bob's Vision. I think, Rick, you've seen that one, too.
Yes.
It's horrific. Now, why is God telling us this? It's serious stuff. It is so serious. And now we've got the Jewish guy and who claims that Christians are absolutely the most malevolent. And let me share this. Not all Jewish people believe what he believes, nor would I even believe that he's a child of Abraham, okay?
Isn't the idea of a Jewish atheist, isn't that an oxymoron?
It is an oxymoron.
How in the world can a Jew be an atheist? And yet this Mr. Weinstein is a Jewish atheist.
Right, and it's interesting that seems to be a famous name in the world of Hollywood now, this guy, that say the same name. And look, for the Christians, okay, I know you've got this bothers you too, and this is something that I'm actually praying over. I'm asking the Lord to help me through this, but there is nothing that so disrupts my spirit than the abject cowardice of anonymous Christians who claim to be anonymous because they send me all their emails, okay? And people who sit in judgment of you and I, Pastor Langford, anybody who's standing up for Jesus and claiming to be Christians. Now listen, they went out from amongst us, but they were not of us. Isn't that what the Scripture tells us?
That's what it
Isn't
says.
Isn't the Scripture telling us that any spirit that denies Jesus Christ is Lord, and yet we've got the most grisly, horrid abortion trial going on, and we are a nation of blood. We are a nation of blood, and the mainstream doesn't care. And I made this statement last night on Doug Hagman's show, and I'll make it on this show, Rick. Anybody who looks to the mainstream news to get their news is already a mind-controlled automaton. You are in the Borg, you have been assimilated, and their control is in the airwaves and in the neuro-linguistic programming that they continue to barrage your mind with. I do not apologize for that. I have talked to guys in the intelligence community, in the military, and they laugh, Rick. They absolutely laugh at how easy it was for them. In other words, people don't think anymore. People don't want to think anymore because entertainment has become their god.
Steve,
and when entertainment becomes your god, you go into a place of apathy and indifference, and the two words, responsibility and accountability, which no longer are being preached from the pulpit, because obviously the guys in the pulpit, I call them, I got other names for that, but I'll leave that for this, not this show. The point is that we're seeing the direct rejection of Jesus Christ. The salt has lost its savor, and the people of God are going to be trampled under. And Rick, we are talking about, and I wept one day on the radio a number of years ago, and I started to praise God because I knew that the odds against us winning are impossible in our own strength. I began to praise God, and I think I praised the Lord for 30 minutes on the air, and all I got from the self-righteous Christians is, well, you know, Jesus said, beware the vain repetition of the Gentiles, and I said, oh, foolish man. In this case, it was him and his three buddies saying, oh, you know, you don't understand what I was doing. I was praising God that when the day comes for a slaughter that is greater than even what was planned against the Jews during Queen Esther's day by Haman, when that day comes, the only victory can be in Jesus. So I would say this, anybody wants to challenge what the spirit behind what I'm warning is, it's absolutely coming from the Holy Ghost to warn you. I am against your plans 2 years ago to make war against my people and my land.
I believe, Steve, that, unfortunately, and it grieves me, it pains me to say these things, but I believe the U.S. military is headed for a horrific military debacle.
They're going to be so destroyed so quickly. And again, you know, look, we have traitors in the Pentagon that are so absolutely on everybody's payroll. And I have talked to four-star generals, and I'll just say, and above. And the deal is that it's amazing. And yet the people who have voted for the political representation, by the way, goes back to Bush too. I mean, we have, in essence, sold our birthright. We have Esau-ized our inheritance, and now we're going to reap the ruin. And so when you remember when John Price wrote his book and stuff, I mean, good night. John really nailed it, but we are, and people say, oh, America is not Mystery Babylon. No, it's no longer a mystery.
Yeah.
It is Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Because and what does it say? The blood sacrifices that have to take place. This, you're seeing the super saturation of the media, of everybody from Lady Gaga and Beyonce and Jay-Z, and I only know these names, I don't follow their careers, but I only know it by their open professions of Satan on YouTube and stuff. The bottom line is that we've got a whole nation bewitched now. We've got a nation that has come under the spell of evil spirits. And the second part of that prophecy, to the gate openers, when the gates of hell will not prevail, remember, a gate can only either hold something back or let something through. But, you know, Jesus said they won't prevail, but he certainly didn't say that anything that would try and come through the gates won't be. Abominable filth is being poured out on land. And a friend of mine who got murdered, Rick, and again, I get so furious at the cowardly shills and the milquetoast maggots, and I'm sorry, this is me, don't hold Rick responsible, that take on the people. Gary, the man that gave me the red list, blue list, and the green list so many years ago, 1997. The point is that he paid with his life. But he said this, he said, when you see militant lesbians in the highest law enforcement offices in the land, you'll know you're right at the end plan of implementation. And when you see the medical process, he also told me this, Rick, this is something that very few people know, that the United Nations, which is nothing more than basically, you know, hell's earthly gathering point for its adherents, that's my words again, the point is that curative process, you know, the people they hold in the greatest contempt, the people that have love. They can't stand love. So doctors, nurses, long-term health care providers, they're right up there with the Christians and people they want to destroy. And when a man pays for that information with his life, if anybody challenges this, you take it to the living God. If you're a Christian, take it to the living God. If you don't know Jesus, you better get to know him, because what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? And, Rick, that's what you do every day that you're on the radio. It's what I do every day. That's every time we do. We're pleading for men by the grace of God that God would grant them repentance. Last night, The Lord gave me a little simple statement. Repent and believe, repent and receive, you know? But some people want to make it more complicated. But repent means turn from our ways and our sin, you know? And that's where we are at today. We have now been vilified. And let me share this with you. Any politician that votes for gun control is your executioner. You saw the story about the Florida situation where $1 million is in the kitty to turn on anybody who speaks a word against the government.
Oh, this is the sheriff in Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking here our next-door neighbors here in Florida.
Yeah.
If he wants you to call the sheriff's office if you know somebody that he says hates the government.
Yep.
Steve, in the beginning of the program, I listed 11 things that I said I believe that Christians need to do immediately. The first four were pretty benign. You know, the first one, really useless. You know, contact your senators and congressmen. Like, that's really going to matter. But do it anyhow. Number two, every pastor must address this issue from his pulpit. And if he doesn't, then politely stand up in church this Sunday and force him to deal with the issue. Number three, every Christian TV and radio host must address the issue. Number four, we have to stop financing the pulpit sissies. Stop giving them money. All right?
Absolutely.
Now, this is where it starts to get a little bit more serious. Number five, pastors should organize and lead peaceful, nonviolent prayer vigils at the gates of U.S. military bases. Number six, the purpose of the ban is intimidation. Therefore, all Christians in the military must defy the ban. They must praise and worship the name of Jesus. They must risk court-martial, whatever. And then I said, every Christian in the military, active or reserve duty, must refuse to enlist. Get out of the military machine and tell them why you're leaving. Also, all Christian men and women should cease enlisting in the U.S. Armed Forces until this policy is repealed. And then number 10, I said every pastor should declare from his pulpit to the young men and women in his congregation that they are not permitted to enlist in the military as long as the U.S. military has this hostile policy towards Christianity. And 11 was, get ready for persecution. Make the decision. Are you going to stay in Babylon, suffer the consequences, die for Jesus Christ here, or are you going to depart the country and live out the rest of your life in a foreign land? You have to make that decision, and you have to make the decision very, very soon. What do you think about those things in terms of you know, non-violent, peaceful prayer vigils in front of military bases? What do the Christians do to react to this policy of, we're going to lock you up, we're even going to execute you if necessary?
We first of all call, Rick, for a time of prayer and fasting, a coordinated time of prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord. And I'm not saying that. Every one of your statements, amen, and I get emails every day, my son wants to go in the military, should he? Absolutely not. Those who are in the military, as you said, they have to practice passive resistance. And if there are any, and I say this, any constitutional lawyers out there with a spine who would get involved to challenge, this is the clearest civil rights violation in the history of the United States. And so you say you get, I know David said he got David Langford said he got a call from a lawyer, and I've gotten them from the past. If there are any Christian lawyers out there, and I don't even know if the Christian, what is it, the J. Sekulow Foundation, but somebody should be well aware yet able to appeal to Caesar's court, even recognizing that Caesar's court is corrupt. But we need to force the issue. If you said that about Muslims, bombs would be blowing up in every mall in America and every, you know, television. If you slandered, you know, anybody, everybody would just be let go. But the minute you say you're a Christian, the electronic reticles on a night scope go on your forehead. And even the late Sue Bradley, one of the greatest researchers, I believe, in the history of this country, if not the world, even she, when she was sick and pretty much bedridden or in a wheelchair, even she had the devils that are putting a laser on her, you know, and thank God she went home to be with Jesus to receive her eternal reward. But Rick, everything you say, I agree with. I would only add one thing, that we would pray that somebody would be moved upon by the Holy Ghost with an angel standing to the right of him and the left of him, prompting him to file the biggest class action suit in the history of the United States. And let me share this. I want to make this one more time so clear. Any politician, any sheriff, if the Christians don't recognize that that man is already setting you up for identification. Years ago, I was on your radio show and I talked about the formula the Lord had given me for the last days. IVND. He said, Steve, they, meaning the devils, would begin to identify people, vilify them, nullify them, and ultimately destroy them. And the Lord said, Steve, it's not destroying their reputations, it's destroying their life. He gave me the scripture. There'll come a time when they'll kill us and say they're doing God a favor. So, Rick, this niche program, and I want to put something into perspective. The true definition of, if you look at perspective, when Marcus Wolf and Yevgeny Primakov were hired years ago by FEMA, these are the two spy masters, both for Marcus Wolf, East Germany, and the Stasi, the secret police, and Primakov, KGB. And I believe it was Primakov who made the quote. He said, he said this, "You've spent trillions to fight us during the Cold War, and now you pay us tens of millions to enslave your own people." So, you know, this total information awareness, look at the attitude. I mean, listen, DHS is basically thumbing their nose at Congress, and you can say 2.6 billion rounds. Some people have tallied 3.8 billion rounds. And then they have the gall to say, well, yeah, we're not using these on the American people.
Steve, is this policy, and we're only down for about 2-3 minutes here, is this policy another attempt to goad and provoke a response from the American people? Are they begging for some type of retaliation from the American people?
Well, they're trying to provoke because they want the order to kill, but you know what? They know that the constraint has been so good, so they are the ones initiating. That's what a false flag is, ladies and gentlemen, and Boston was totally phony. Sandy Hook was phony. The real perpetrators are behind the scenes and they're laughing. And by the way, I won't give it away, but the first part of the prophecy was God speaking to a certain individual saying, and the kings who have put you in power, and you take the Saudi connection into that, will turn against you. I'll just let that leak. The point being is that we've got the known Saudi connection, we've got the absolute hatred of radical Islam and Wahhabism, especially against Jesus. This is a total war, Rick. People have got to get on their knees, they've got to get active, and I put that, if you'll email me or at someplace on your website, I'll put that up, a Christian call to action. And again, last thing, if there are any attorneys out there, email me, and if you want a retainer, I'll give you the retainer. But you need to promise me that you will stand up for God, and you have to have a record of standing up for God. Because I believe, Rick, that every single Christian should be a plaintiff. And someone says, well, you can't do that. Paul did it, and that's what saved his life until God was finished with him. And if Paul hadn't gone to prison, you wouldn't have the epistles we have today. So we have the ability to be salt of the earth. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Ask him to fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. Ask him to fill you with bravery. Ask him to encourage you and stand up for the King of Glory.
Steve, 30 seconds to our music starts. You were here at our Watchman's meeting in Vero Beach a year ago, April of 2012, and the unanimous consensus among the Watchmen was that America would start to go into captivity by the end of 2012. We're in the fifth month of 2013. This thing is going downhill fast. This is at a speed now that is breathtaking. We have the military declaring we will put Christians in the brig. We have sheriffs saying, I've got $1 million to spend. Come, call me if you know anybody who's against the government. This is becoming an extremely hostile place for anybody that refuses to go along with the agenda. There is our closing music. My guest, radio host Steve Quayle, man who's been on the air for over 20 years, warning that this day would come. Now it's here. What are we going to do? How are you going to respond? Are you going to continue to sit there and twiddle your thumbs and just be a spectator and say, oh my, isn't this really bizarre? Or are you going to take a stand? Some of you are sitting on vast resources that could be employed in the use of preaching the gospel. How long are you going to sit on it? What are you going to do? They're coming after the body of Christ. We're in the last days. This isn't going to get prettier. And there's no easy escape. More and more Christians are waking up realizing the church will go through some tribulation before Jesus Christ returns. I'm going to take my stand. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ, the blood, the cross, for salvation. Will you? I'll see you tomorrow.